Okay, we're beginning here towards the bottom of Bet Amud Bet, about 19 lines up. Gemara there says, "V'yitziat Mitzrayim gufa minolon deminisan maninan." How do we know that Yitziat Mitzrayim is counted from Nisan? Now, what is obvious to the Gemara, and is pretty clear through the Psukim, is that as far as the enumeration of the Chodashim, that they are counted from Nisan. When the Torah says that it's the first month, the second month, the third month, then it's those are the month from Nisan. Nisan is clearly the first month, and that's based on the pasuk of Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim. In terms of the numeration of the months, we know that the months begin from Nisan, and the numbers that are used in the Torah are numbers from Nisan around the calendar year. Question is, when does the year begin? Even if you have the enumeration of the months from there, where is the cutoff for the year itself? And the Gemara doesn't see that the two have to be correlated necessarily, and that's what they're asking over here. Just because Nisan is the first month, how do you know that for Yitziat Mitzrayim, that the calculation is done Minisan, Dilma, Mitishrei Magninan? How do you know that? Maybe it has to do with Tishrei. So Lo Sakadatcha, you wouldn't think this, Tichtiv, because it says in the Pasuk, Vaya'al Aron HaKohen El Hora HaHar, Al Pi Hashem, Vayamat Sham Mishnat Har Ba'im Letzei Pnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, Bechodesh HaChamishi Be'echad L'Chodesh. When it talks about the death of Aron, it says that Aron ascends Hora HaHar, and he dies there in the 40th year in the Midbar, Bechodesh HaChamishi, in the 5th month, Be'echad L'Chodesh, on the 1st of the month. By the way, it's something to take note of. Most people don't know when Aron HaKohen died. He dies on Rosh Chodesh Av, which is significant because he's the one who is an Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, and we know that the Churban Abayit takes place because of Sinat Chinam. The fact that Aaron dies on Rosh Chodesh Av is significant, but it's significant also here because it was in the 40th year, and it's the 40th year on Rosh Chodesh Av. Uchtiv, subsequent to that, it says, "Hi Barbaim Shana," the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, "Ba'ashtei Asar Chodesh," in the 11th month, which is Shvat, "Be'echad HaChodesh," on Rosh Chodesh. The whole of Sefer Devarim is conveyed in a matter of 37 days. Moshe starts to speak in the beginning of Sefer Devarim on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and Moshe dies on Zayin Adar. So all 37 days. The whole Sefer Devarim takes place over 37 days. But Moshe is speaking in the 40th year on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Now Shvat is after Tishrei, but it's also after Av. And yet, he calls it the 40th year. So it says, "Va'i b'arbim shana b'ashteyasar chodesh b'chad chodesh diber Moshe." So Moshe is speaking, "Midikai b'av v'kari leishnat arbaim." For Aaron, we're standing in Av, and it says it's the 40th year. "V'kai b'shvat v'kari leishnat arbaim." And then it goes to Av, and it also calls it the 40th year. That means that we didn't trip a year in between, or trigger a year in between Av and Shvat. "V'chlal d'Rosh Hashanah lab tishrehu." From that you can clearly conclude that Tishrei is not Rosh Hashanah. That's not the crossover for the year, because otherwise it would already be the 41st year when Moshe speaks. Where it says, "Bishlama heyach mifaresh dilitziat Mitzrayim, elahai mimai dilitziat Mitzrayim, duma lakamat hamishkan." The Gemara here asks, and we have this problem many times, which is that there's no reference to the year or to the number of years that were given. So when you go to Aaron, when it speaks about Aaron's death, it says, "Vayal Aaron HaKohen al Horahar, al Pi Hashem, vayamad sham bishnat ha-arbaim, letzeit b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim." So you have a reference point for where the 40 years come from. They start from the leaving of Mitzrayim. But when you go to Moshe in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, it just says, "Vayi b'arbaim shana," in the 40th year. How do you know what the reference point for that 40th year is? So you're assuming that it's Yitziat Mitzrayim. If you assume it is Yitziat Mitzrayim, then you have a proof that Tishrei is not Rosh Hashanah, because here you have something in the 5th month and something in the 11th month, and they're still classified as the same year. On the other hand, if you believe that this 40th year that's mentioned in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim is referencing something else, and the reference point is Hakamat HaMishkan, the Mishkan is only put up in the second year that the Midbar. So then, truthfully, it would be the 41st year. The 41st year from leaving Mitzrayim, but the 40th year after Hakamat HaMishkan.
Maybe
so,
the way they count the
Malach. Right. But that won't help you here, because here you're trying to...
Right.
Right. Kedama Rav Papa, Kelmer Papa, Shnat Esrim, the Gezeres Shavu, we'll bump into today's daf, that, again, we have the same problem in other psukim, where it was the 20th year, one of them has a reference point, one of them does not have a reference point, and we assume that they're both from the same reference point, which is, Rav Papa's point is that if you have one pasuk that is explicit, and one pasuk that is unclear, then we'll assume that the pasuk that doesn't give you any clarity is relying on the other pasuk to tell you the information. If we know that the end of Sefer Bamidbar, we're talking about the 40th year, relative to a referencing Yitziat Mitzrayim, when they start Sefer Devarim, it's also referencing Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's taken for granted that you know that, and that's the Gezeres Shavah. It says Arbaim. So it's the 40th year. We're going to assume that the 40th year referenced the same start point, which is Yitziat Mitzrayim. So that's what the Gemara says here. Al-Khanami, in our case, Shnat Arbaim, Gezeres Shavah. Makan Yitziat Mitzrayim, just like by Aaron, it's Yitziat Mitzrayim. Afkan Yitziat Mitzrayim. So too, by Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, it's Yitziat Mitzrayim. Umimai Demasei Av Kadim. But this is a secondary problem, which is, how do you know which came first? So you can have, if you think about it, if you're in Shvat, and then you go to Av afterwards, and it's still the 40th year, all you can prove is that Nisan wasn't Rosh Hashanah, you can't prove anything about Tishrei. On the other hand, if the event in Av is first, and then the event in Shvat is afterwards, then you can prove that Tishrei is not Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara asks here, just simply, how do you know which came first? How do you know that Aaron died, or the beginning of Sefer Devarim, which comes first? So Dilma Masei D'Shvat Kadim, maybe the beginning of Sefer Devarim precedes that of the end of Sefer Bamidbar. It says, Lo Sakla Datcho, that we wouldn't say. Dichtiv, because in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, when Moshe describes, you know, the setting in which he's beginning his speech, it says, Achrei Akoto Et Sichon, after he already had conquered or killed Sichon Melech Amori. V'chi Nach Navshed Aron, Akati Hava Sichon Kayam. And before an Aron dies, Sichon is still alive. So if Aaron dies while Sichon's still alive in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, when Moshe is speaking, he's saying Sichon's already dead, then we know that that's subsequent, that that's a later event. Just to know, just because it's the order doesn't help you. Meaning that just, the Gemara will say, just because one is found at the end of Sefer Bamidbar and one at the beginning of Sefer Devarim doesn't guarantee you that, by definition, that's in chronological order. Because the Gemara tells us in many places that there is a mukdam u'muchar b'Torah. The Torah is not necessarily written in a chronological order. It's a machlokut rishonim. How far you take that? Ramban is the minimalistic approach to that, which is that only when the Torah gives you a specific date will you assume otherwise. Rashi uses it much more loosely in terms of anywhere we have an issue, we can say it was out of order. So now, Gemara says, Dichtiv, how do we know that when Aaron dies, that Sichon is still alive? So it says in Parshat Chukat, subsequent to Aaron's death, by Shma Kanani Melech Arad, the Kanani Melech Arad heard a Shmua. He heard something. Ma Shmua Shema. What did he hear? Shema Shemait Aaron Ministalku Ananei Akavod. He heard that Aaron had died, and we know that, we'll see this in the Gemara Megillah, that the Ananei Akavod came b'schut Aaron. When Aaron dies, the Ananei Akavod went. Because Zavur nitna reshut lidachem b'Yisrael. And now he thinks that he has permission to attack B'nai Yisrael, because they're no longer under the protection of God. The clouds have disappeared. V'ayinu dichtiv, and that's what it says in the pasuk, v'yiru kol eida ki gava Aaron, that the people saw that Aaron had died. They saw that Aaron had died because he went up with his son Elazar, and when he comes down, his son comes down alone without his father. So that people understand through that, they see that Aaron had died. That they saw Ela Vayera'u, that they were now to be seen. The word ki, which is a conjunction, functions in four different ways. One is e, which means im, if. Then there's dilma, maybe. Ela, but. And then daha. Now daha can mean either asher, which means that, or shekain, because. So that's one of the two meanings of the word daha. Now over here, the word ki, when it's used as kasher or asher, Rashi over here claims that that's a derivative of im. Tosafot disagrees and says it's a derivative of daha. And Tosafot points out that Rashi in other places mentions that when you use it as kasher or asher, that means deha. So here, when you have the pasuk, you can look at it in one of two ways. It says either Vayiru kol ha'ida ki gav aron. The people saw ki gav aron, that Aaron had died. That's one possibility of reading it. Or you could read it, which is the suggestion of Rabbi Abba, which is Vayera'u kol ha'ida. The people were now visible ki gav aron, because Aaron had died. Shekein Aaron gav. So is it an explanation of what they saw? Or is it an explanation for why they are being seen? So that's the question of how it's Vayir'u ki, or Vayera'u ki. Vayir'u, is it what they saw? Or is it Vayera'u, they were seen, ki, because, and it gives you the reason that they were being seen. So what Rabbi Abba suggests over here is, why did Melech Arad attack Bnei Israel? Because Vayir'u kol Eida ki gav Aaron. The Eida was now visible because Aaron had died. And that's the Shmua that Melech Arad heard in the subsequent Pasuk. And therefore he attacks Bnei Israel. We're still not so clear about what happened here. Where it says, Midami, Hotam Kinan, Hachan Sichon. These are two different issues. One is Sichon Melech Emori. And here we're talking about Meishma Knani Melech Arad. So one is the Emori, one is the Knani, one's Melech Arad, one is Sichon. How do you think that these are the same people? Where it says, and we're going to have this a couple of times today's daf, Tana, who Sichon, who Arad, who Kinan. So where it says that they're all one person. Sichon, Arad, and Canaan, all one person. Sichon, so now the Gemara explains why. Why was he called Sichon? Shodomeh l'sayach bamidbar. That he's like a foal in the desert. A sayach is a foal, young horse that is parua, he's wild, like pera adam. He's wild in the midbar, runs around. So that's why he was nicknamed Sichon. Canaan, Oshem Machuto. Canaan is because that's where he ruled. Umashmo, and what's his real name? Arad, Shemo. That's one possibility. Ikadamre, Arad, his nickname was Arad, Shedome Larod Bamidbar. It's like a wild donkey in the Midbar. Kanan Oshem Akuto. Mashmo, what's his real name? Sichon Shmo. His real name is Sichon. So by doing that, the Gemara now says that event takes place subsequent to Aaron's death. Subsequent to Aaron's death, we have Ishmak Nani, Melech Arad. And if that's Sichon, that means Sichon is still alive after Aaron dies. And when Moshe speaks, Sichon is already killed. I mean, the battles with Sichon already have taken place. Now, even though in Sefer Bamidbar, those battles with Sichon take place after Parshat Chukat, after Aaron's death, nevertheless, again, the Gemara is assuming that Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar B'Torah, and therefore you have to prove some sort of connection between Aaron's death and the fact that Sichon is still alive. So they do that through Melech Arad. What's interesting is the Midrashim. Midrash Rabbo on that Pasuk says that Vayishma Karani Melech Arad was actually Amalek attacking Bnei Israel. So why does it call them the Kanani? Because they dressed up like the Kanani. The Tosfot over here reconciles and says, well, the fact that they were dressing up to be like Sichon tells you that Sichon's still alive. Otherwise, why would they dress up like people who don't exist anymore? So Amalek tried to hide themselves by dressing up like the Kanani, and therefore it's also like Sichon. That's how Tosfot reconciles those Midrashim. So now the Gemara says, okay, Ve'ema Rosh Hashanah Iyar. Let's assume that Rosh Hashanah is Iyar. So far, we tried with Nisan. We said that Nisan is possibly Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara then entertained the possibility that it's Tishrei. Gemara rejects Tishrei because of the crossover between Av Tishvat when it's called the 40th year. So now the Gemara says, why don't we suggest that it's Iyar? Gemara says, Lo Sakadatka, it can't be Iyar, Dichtiv. Because it says, Vayi Bechodesh HaRishon, Bashana Shinit, Be'achad HaChodesh, Hukam HaMishkan. So the consecration of the Mishkan takes place in the second year, on the first month, which is Nisan, Be'achad HaChodesh, on the first of the month. I mean, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Hakamat HaMishkan. Uchtiv, and it says in Sefer Bamidbar, Vayi Bashana Shinit, Bachodesh HaSheni, Ne'ala Anan, Me'ala Mishkan HaYidut. So there, in Balotcha, it says that in the second year, in the second month, the Anan leaves the Mishkan, rises from on top of the Mishkan. We have missing here, it's in the Psukim there, which is Vayi B'Shana Shanit B'Chodesh Shani B'Esrim B'Chodesh Na'ala Anan Me'ala Mishkan Ha'idut. And in the 20th of the month of Iyar, the cloud ascends from on the Mishkan, Midikai B'Nisan, and we're standing in Nisan B'Kori Lai Shana Shanit, and it calls it the second year, B'Kai B'Iyar, and then after that it's speaking in Iyar, B'Kori Lai Shana Shanit, and it calls it the second year. Mechlau, the Rosh Hashanah, Lav Iyarhu. Right? So we've eliminated the possibility that Iyar is Rosh Hashanah because you have been called the second year, both in Nisan and in Iyar. If Iyar was Rosh Hashanah, you'd be in the third year by the time you hit the ER, and we know that's subsequent to the Mishkan because the Anan is on the Mishkan. It goes up off the Mishkan. So it has to be post the Mishkan. So Ve'ema Rosh Hashanah Sivan. Let's say Rosh Hashanah Sivan. So Lo Sagadatra Dichtiv, because you have a problem. It says Bechodesh Hashlishi Tzeit Bnei Yisrael Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. So it says there in Parshat Yitro, when speaking about Matan Torah, it says that Matan Torah takes place in the third month after Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim. The assumption of Chodesh HaShlishi is that you're still in the first year, because it doesn't identify for you that now you've crossed over into the second year like it does in all the other events that deal with the second year. Let's say, if you were right, then it should be the third month, the second year. The fact that it doesn't mention it as the second year, that's what it should have said. The fact that it doesn't say it means that it must be that it is the first year. If it's the first year, then Sivan is clearly not Rosh Hashanah. Veima Tammuz, Veima Av, Veima Adar. So we have learned a whole bunch of other options. Options where we don't have crossovers in Psukim. So that's true of Tammuz and Av. Tammuz and Av, we don't have anything before and after that give us that indication that it is 1 year. And also Adar. Because the proof that we had from Moshe and Aaron, the deaths of Aaron and Moshe, was from Av to Shvat. We have no proof with regards to Adar. So why can't any of those also be Rosh Hashanah? Ela Amar Rabbi Elazar Mehalcha. So Rabbi Elazar says, we learn it from here. So before, Rabbi Yochanan brought the pasuk from Sefer Melachim. In Sefer Melachim it says, Ve'i b'shmonim shana v'arba me'ot shana l'tzeit b'nei Yisrael me'er Mitzrayim b'shana revit b'chodesh ziv hu achodesh ha'sheni l'imloch Shlomo al Yisrael. So there, it talks about Yitziat Mitzrayim and Malchut Shlomo. So there, Rabbi Yochanan claims there's a correlation between Nisan of Yitziat Mitzrayim and Nisan of Rosh Hashanah la Melachim. So now, what Rabbi Elazar suggests is, and Rabbi Elazar is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Yochanan, he suggests, why don't you use the Pasuk from Divrei HaYamim. So in Divrei HaYamim it says, Vayachel Livnot, Bechodesh HaShini, Bashini, Shnat Arba, the Malchuto. So they begin to build the Mikdash, Bechodesh HaShini, in the second month, Bashini, which we don't know what that means. Bishnat Arba l'malchuto, in the fourth year of the rule of Shlomo HaMelech, which is akin to the pasuk we have in Melachim. In Melachim it says Bishana Revit, that they began the building in the fourth year of Shlomo's reign. My sheni, what does it mean? Sheni, lav sheni l'yerach shemonim bo l'malchuto. Isn't it in the second month to the months from which they count his kingdom? That the kings get counted from Nisan. So if you're in Chodesh Ziv, which we clarified already in Sefer Melachim is the second month is from Nisan, obviously. The first month is Nisan, the second month is Ziv. I mean, obviously it wasn't Nisan back there either. Those are Babylonian names. But the first month and then the second month. So when it says Sheni here, it's Sheni the Chol, by the second month we know because Nisan's first, Iyar is second. But what's the additional Sheni come to teach you? Does that come to teach you also? That is the second month of the fourth year of the reign of Shlomo HaMelech, that it correlates between the months of the year and the months of his reign. So therefore, you would understand from that the reign begins in Nisan, just like the counting of the months begins in Nisan. So that's Rabbi Elazar's proof that Nisan is Rosh Hashanah LaMelachim. Now the Gemara asks on that, Matifla Ravina Ve'ma Sheni Bachodesh. Ravina suggests maybe it should be B'Sheni Bachodesh on the second day of the month. It means the second month on the second day. Bet Le Chodesh Iyar, Bet Le Chodesh Ziv. So when it says, Imkein, Sheni Bachodesh, Badeh Havakdiv Be. It would have written Sheni Bachodesh, because it never just tells you Sheni, meaning the second day of the month, without giving you a reference that it's the second of the month. Eima Sheni B'Shabbat. Let's say it's on Monday, that it's on the second day of the week. So when it says, Chado, first of all, the Lash Khan Sheni B'Shabbat, Dichtiv. We never find that second day of the week or Monday is written. Vod, make his sheni bachel, the sheni kamo. The juxtaposition of the sheni that's there, written right next to each other, adjacent to each other. Ma sheni kama chodesh, av sheni bachel chodesh. So just like the first sheni is referring to a month, so too the second sheni is referring to a month. And therefore that would support Rabbi Lazar's contention that we're talking about the second month of his reign in the fourth year of his reign. And that would indicate that Nisan was Rosh Hashanah. Now what's interesting here, Tosfot asks the question, wait a minute. He says, Sheni B'Shabbat is never mentioned in the Torah. Doesn't say, Vayera Vayivoker Yom Sheni. Tosafot gives a very interesting answer. He says, Mefarsh B'Yerushalmi, Ein Lemidim B'Riyato Shel Olam. You can't learn from B'Riyato Olam. Klamar, Delav Shabbat B'Shabbat Kai. Just because it's Yom Sheni doesn't mean it was the second day of the week. It just means it was the second day of creation. Possibly, like you're suggesting, that Shabbat didn't exist yet. Or the other possibility is that the days of creation are not necessarily correlated with the days of the week, which is interesting of itself. I would have simply answered, and I'm not sure why Tosafot even played with this, when they say there is Sheni B'Shabbat is never mentioned in the Torah, that is true of any dating that you have in the Torah. The Torah, when it gives dates, gives years, and gives months, and even possibly gives you the day of the month, it never gives you the day of the week. It never tells you what day of the week on which the dating is taking place. It mentions Shabbos independently. It will never give you a reference date that tells you what day of the week. That I think Tosfot's question is unnecessary because, yes, the Torah tells you about days of the week, but it never tells you about days of the week in the context of the date. When it gives you dates, the Torah gives you years, months, and possibly sometimes it gives you which day of the month it was. It never gives you the day of the week in that context. To avoid Tosfot's question, you could just simply answer that way. You don't have to get involved in whether creation has Sheni LeShabbat and mentions the day of the week. The day of week is not necessarily what the Gemara is after here. The Gemara is after that in context of dating, it never gives you that because that's what it's trying to clarify over here. Can the Sheni in this dating mean the day of the week? So now the Gemara says, Tanya, Kavate de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a braita that supports Rabbi Yochanan, and in Okanami also supports Rabbi Elazar as well. Their contention that that's how we learn it. Minayin, Shein Monim Lehem Lemelachim, Ela Minisan. How do we know that Rosh Hashanah Lemelachim is Nisan, Shenemar? Vahibish Monim Shenav Rabbi Melech Shanah, let's say Pnei Seom Eretz Yisrael. Uchtiv, Vayal Aron HaKohen El Hor HaHar Al Pi Hashem. Uchtiv, Vayibar Vahim Shanah Bashtei Asar Chodesh. Uchtiv, Achrei Yakoto Et Sichon. Vomer, Vayishma Knani. Vomer, Vayiru Kol Eida Ki Yav Aron. Vomer, Vayi B'Chodesh Rishon B'Shana Shenit. Vomer, Vayi B'Shana Shenit B'Chodesh Shenit. Vomer, B'Chodesh Shlishi Letei Pnei Yisrael. Vomer, Vayichel Livnot. Brings basically all the psukim that we just used to prove that Nisan was Rosh Hashanah. Some of them are the proofs that other months are not Rosh Hashanah, and some of them are used to prove that Rosh Hashanah itself is Nisan. So it brings you basically the entire series of the Gemara from Rabbi Yochanan all the way through to here. All the psukim that we just quoted, we have in a braita. So it must be that all those psukim are coming to support exactly this understanding that Rosh Hashanah the Melachim is Nisan. Amar Rav Chista, Lo Shanu Elo Lemalchei Yisrael. That's only true of Jewish kings. For the Malchei Umot Olam, we measure from Tishrei, not from Nisan. I mean that their kingdoms or their count for how long they reign is set by Tishrei and not by Nisan. The Jewish kings are set from Nisan. Shenamar, and I'm going to prove this to you from Nehemiah. It says, Divrei Nehemiah ben Hachaliah, Vahi b'chodesh kislev, Shnat Esrim. So it says in the Chodesh of Kislev, in the 20th year, Uchtiv. And it also says, Vayi B'Chodesh Nisan, the month of Nisan, Shnat Esrim, L'Achar Tachshast. In the 20th year of Achar Tachshast. So, Midikai B'Kislev, in Nehemiah Aleph, this is the first Pasuk in Nehemiah, the first parak, first Pasuk in Nehemiah, it says he's standing in Chodesh Kislev, in the 20th year of Achar Tachshast. Well, it doesn't tell you that it's Architeshast, but that's the Gemara's assumption that it is that way. And then it says in the first Pasuk of the second Perek that he's standing in Nisan, which is also the 20th year of Artachshast. The fact that he crossed over Rosh Chodesh Nisan and it's still the 20th year proves to you that the cutoff is not Nisan. That's not the threshold for non-Jewish kings. There's a pretty good proof that Rosh Hashanah is not Nisan. Bishlama, again, the same question we asked in the previous Amud, which is, Bishlama yach mifaresht l'artachshast. In the Perek Bet, Pasuk Aleph, it's clear that reference point is Achartachshast. Whereas, Elahai mimai delachshast. How do you know that the first Pasuk in the first Perek is referencing the rule of Achartachshast? Dilma, l'minyan achrino. Maybe it's some other reference point. It doesn't give you what the reference point is, but maybe there's a different reference point. The example of something like that is by Noach and the Mabul. By the Mabul, the Torah gives you enumerations of months and references, and it never gives you the reference point, but as Rashi proves there, and the Midrashim tell us, even though it's mentioning the 10th month, the 12th month, the reference points are different for each one of those psukim, despite the fact that it never clarifies it, but the fact that it doesn't tell you what it is means that it's open to interpretation about what the reference point is. So too over here. Now this is the original. Amar Rav Papa, Shnat Esrim Shana, Shnat Esrim Shana, the Gzeir Shava. That the 20th, that's Gzeres Shavah. That's what we brought before. Just like Rav Papa says 20th, Gzeres Shavah, so too 40th, Gzeres Shavah. And Rav Papa's basic principle is, when I have a piece of information that's clear, in Perek Bet, Pasuk Aleph, it tells me the 20th year is referencing the rule of Artaxast, then, of course, the one in the first Perek, the first Pasuk, should be referencing Artaxast. There's no reason to believe that it's not. And it's 20th and 20th, and we're going to assume it's the same reign. So based on that, we've proven that the non-Jewish kings do not count their years from Nisan. Umimai, the Masedi Kislev Kadim. How do you know that the event in Kislev came first? Dilma Masedi Nisan Kadim. Maybe the event in Nisan took place. Marseille's Lo Sa'ak Datko. It doesn't make any sense. Now, if you read the Psukim, it doesn't make any sense. But the Gemara brings the Tanya. Tvarim Shamar Hanani Lenechemya Bikislev. The items that were told over to Nehemiah and Kislev, Amram Nehemiah LaMelech B'Nisan. They were told over to the king in Nisan. Dvarim Shamar Hanani LeNehemiah B'Kislev Shinemar. Again, if you read the Psukim, it's obvious from the story here that Nehemiah gets information, and that information affects him, and then that information he eventually conveys to the king, which is Divrei Nehemiah Pen Hachalia Vahi B'Chodesh Kislev Shnat Esrim. Was in the month of Kislev in the 20th year of the reign. We don't know who, but we assume that it's Artaxast. And it says there, Vani Aiti B'Shushana Bira. I was in Shushana Bira, which is the capital city of the Persian Median Empire. Vayavo Hanani Echad Me'achai, Hu Vanashim Yehuda. Hanani, one of my brethren, him and men from Yehuda come to visit us. Vashaleim Al Yudim Hapleita Asher Nisharu Menashevi Vayushalayim. I asked him as to the status of the captives who now are in Yerushalayim. These are the people that returned to Yerushalayim earlier. And about the status of Yerushalayim. Vayom Ruli, and he said to me, Hanisharim asher nisharu min ashvi sham ba-medina. Those that are remaining from the captives there in the Medina, meaning back in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. Bira'a gidola u'becherpa. They're in a terrible situation, and if they're being shamed. V'chumat Yerushalayim mifuratzet. And the wall of Yerushalayim is breached all over. U'she'areha nitztu v'esh. And its gates have been burned, set afire. That is the information that he gets from Yerushalayim. Over there, the Pesukim continue in Perek Aleph. It talks about Nehemiah turns and davens to Hashem, and he starts to fast over the plight of the people in Yerushalayim. That information, Amram Nehemiah Lamelech Menisan. He tells it over to the king in Nisan, Shnemar. Vayi b'chodesh Nisan, this is the beginning of the second Perek. Shnat esrim l'artaxast, in the 20th year of Artaxast, the melech, yayin lefanav. They were bringing wine before him. V'asayat ha-yayin. And I was the butler, I was the wine carrier that took care of bringing the wine before the king. V'etna la-melech. And I gave the wine to the king. V'lo ha-iti ra lefanav. And I was never had a countenance that was despondent or not of a good nature. And that day he says to me, why do you look so despondent? What is wrong? Something is bothering you. You are not sick. There must be something that is tugging at you. There must be something in your heart, of an evil heart. Now, and I was extremely afraid. Meaning that in some ways, it's an accusation to Nehemiah that if he's not sick and he has a terrible countenance, that means that maybe he's planning something bad for the king, or there's something wrong. The fact that the king noticed that, you can't just walk around in that manner in front of the king. So he was fearful of what the king was thinking. So to order to placate the king, or to take down the tension, he says, Melech lolam yichyeh. The king should live forever. This has nothing to do with the king. The king should live a long life. So madua lo yerufanai. So then he explains, why should my face or my countenance not be despondent? Asher ha'ir beit kivrot abutai chareva. That the city of my forefathers and where my forefathers are buried is destroyed. U'she'areh uklu ba'esh. And the gates have been consumed in fire. V'yom eli ha'melech, amazeh ata mevakesh. What is this that you request? What are you telling me? What information are you giving me now? And basically, what's the request that you are making? So I daven to Hashem to give me the words to say properly. If the king is so disposed, and if I find favor in your eyes, Asher tishlacheni el Yehuda, el irk vrot abutai, to send me to the city of Yehuda, and to send me to Yehuda, to the city of my forefathers. Ve'evnena, and I will rebuild it. Ve'yomer li ha-melech ve'ha-shegal. So the king and the shegal yeshivet etzlo, shegal is the queen that is sitting next to him. It's interesting. The word shegal is also used in the Torah, and the tochacha in Sefer Devarim, in Parshat Ki Tavo, over there, it's a kriya nitiv. We read over there, Asher Tisha Kavena, that they sleep with, and the word that is written, the tiv is shagelna, which is to sleep with. So over here, it's partner. It means the partner over there is used in a negative form. But over here, shagal is the queen. Ad matayye mehalachecha. How long will you be gone for? Umaytashuv. And when will you return? I mean, that he's willing to send him for a temporary amount of time. He's not willing to send him for permanently. Vayitav lifnei ha-melech. Vayishlacheni. The king acquiesced to my request and sent me. But now Lozman, and I gave him a time when I would return. Now, it turns out that the Chemi goes up there, and he goes in the 20th year until the 32nd year of the reign. And he's there for a good 12 years. And in Sefer Nehemiah, it tells the story of them rebuilding the wall, the difficulties they have in filling in the breaches and difficulties that the people around him give him. And then the difficulty of the people themselves about their Jewish nature, whether they're keeping Shabbat, which we described in the last parak in Nehemiah, we spoke about that in the past. They were doing business on Shabbat. Also the fact that they had married non-Jewish women. All sorts of problems that they have. That's described in Nehemiah. It says then that he returns to Shushan in his 32nd year. And he asks again, he makes a second request to go back. And at some point he's appointed as the governor of the area of Yehuda. Pachat Yehuda, and he basically takes care of the area of Yehuda, and he remains there. Right, so now, from that you prove that these events are chronological, because he gets information about Yerushalayim, and then he conveys that to the king. There's no way he could have conveyed that to the king if he didn't have the information about Yerushalayim. That means the first parak came first, and the second parak came second. So that's information that tells you that Kislev happened before Nisan, and yet it still calls it the 20th year, proving to you that Nisan is not the Rosh Hashanah, but Melachim for the non-Jewish kings. So now the Gemara says, Meitiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, B'yom esvim v'arba l'chodesh, b'shishi, 6th, b'shnat 2 l'daryovish. In the second year of Daryovish's rule, Uchtiv, and it says, b'shvi'i, in the 7th month, b'esvim v'achad l'chodesh, on the 21st of the month, v'mito, if that was true, b'shvi'i, b'shnat gimel mi'ba'ilei, then it should have been in the 3rd year. Because if you count from Nisan, the 6th month is Elul, the 7th month is Tishrei. So if you believe that Rosh Hashanah L'Melachim is Tishrei for the non-Jewish kings, here you have a statement in Haggai, which is, it's Bayom Esrim V'Arba L'Chodesh, the 24th of the month, Bashishi, in the 6th month, which is Elul, B'Shnat Shtayim L'Daryovish, in the 2nd year of Daryovish. And then it says, that's in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tet Vav. And then in the subsequent Pasuk, in Perek Bet, Pasuk Aleph, it says, Bashvi, in the 7th month, Be'esrim Ve'echad L'chodesh, on the 21st of the month. And how could it be that that is also in the 2nd year of Daryovish? V'mita, Bashvi, Bishnat Gimel Mi'ba'ileh. It should have given you an additional reference, is that we've crossed over into the 3rd year. By the fact that the Navi just continues straight, as if you know that it's the 7th month, the 21st, you know which year you're talking about, it means that it's referencing back to the 2nd year of Daryovish. The fact that it doesn't trigger another year and say the 3rd year of Daryovish, it means we cross over Tishrei, and no change in the year. So that means that Rosh Hashanah L'Melachim is not their way. So Amar Rabbi Yobo, Koresh Melech Kasher Haya. Koresh was a Melech Kasher, l'fikach manu lo k'malchei Yisrael. And therefore they counted him like Malchei Yisrael. Why was Koresh a kosher king? Why was he such a good king? The Rashi says it's a play on the words. Why was he called Koresh? Because he was kasher. Alright, so now he's Koresh. Cyrus comes from the word kasher. Why was he kasher? Now, there's some difficulty here. We're going to see it in a second in Chazal. And this is what leads to the problem in terms of dating of Bayit Sheni. Which is Koresh, who's Cyrus, according to the Navi, Koresh gives permission for the Jews in the time of Zerubbabel to return to Eretz Yisrael and to begin the construction of the Beit HaMikdash of Yerushalayim. That's Cyrus. Cyrus the Great, who conquered Babel. He's the one who grants permission to them to begin the construction of the Mikdash. The Mikdash, the construction, is suspended. because of problems from the people around them, who Katav Sitna Yushalayim, and that is supposedly in the time of Achashverosh, they wrote a letter to the kings of Persia saying that the Jews are rebelling, and they suspend the building. The building then is continued or finished up in the time of Daryovish, the time of Darius. Now, Chazal claimed that that Daryovish is the son of Achashverosh and Esther, was a Daryovish Hasheni. He is the one who grants permission for the completion of the Mikdash. So now Koresh is kasher. At this point, he's kasher because he's the one who allowed them to go back through Bavel to begin the construction of the Mikdash. Now, that's the dating according to Chazal. The dating according to Chazal is going to be very difficult. We'll explain in a second why that is. So now, what Rabbi Yerbo suggests is that because he was a kosher king, therefore he didn't use Tishrei as his trigger, they used Nisan as his trigger. Now, right away, there's a question. Mati Klar of Yosef Chado says, Dim ken kashu kraya dodi. First of all, you have a problem with the psukim. Dichtiv, because it says, Veshetzi baito dino. Now, by the way, in the Navid, all of these are written with a hey. Over here in the Gemara, they're all written with an aleph, the difference between Hebrew and Aramaic, even though in Sefer Ezra at the time it's being written in Aramaic. But it says, Veshetzi baito dino, that the completion of the bayit of the Mikdash took place, Ad yom tzlato liyarach Adar, on the third day of Adar, Dehi shnat shit lamachut Daryovish. In the sixth year of the king Daryovish Malka, Vitanyo, and it says there, at that time in the subsequent year, Allah Ezra mi Bavel, Vigalotoimo. That's when Ezra brings up the second Aliyah from Bavel, comes with Ezra in the sixth year of Daryovish after the completion of the Mikdash, Uchtiv, and it says, Vayavo Yerushalayim bechodesh ha-chamishi, hishnat ha-shvi'it la-melech. Says that he comes up to Yerushalayim in the Chodesh HaChamishi, which is Av, in the seventh year of the king Daryovish. So now, it actually says that he leaves on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, gets everybody together on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he gets a letter from the king, and he takes with him the Golah that he takes up with there, and they arrive in Yerushalayim, Chodesh HaChamishi in the fifth month, Hishnat Shvi'it LaMelech. That's the seventh year of the king. Vimito, if you're right that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the trigger, Shanash Minit Miboyile. It should have rather been the eighth year of his rule. Because they finished the Mikdash in the sixth year. And it says in the subsequent year, Ezra goes up. Now, if Ezra went up in the subsequent year, and it talks about him leaving on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the subsequent year would have been the seventh year. But now he crossed over Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it should already be the eighth year of his rule. The fact that it keeps it as the seventh year of his rule, only a year later, means that Nisan is not the crossover. But the more compelling answer is, Vod mi domi. How can you compare them? Hatam Koresh, Hacha Daryovish. Rabbi Abahu says, Koresh Melech Kasher Haya. The psukim that we quoted from Chagai are talking about Bishnat Shtayim Daryovish. It's talking about Daryovish. So he says, oh, why is it by Daryovish that we see we cross over Tishrei and there is no trigger of a year? That's because Koresh was Kasher. Koresh being Kasher, what does it have to do with Daryovish? Daryovish is mentioned in Chagai. And you're talking about Koresh? What do they have to do with each other? The answer is Tana. This is one of the very, very difficult line, and this is what leads to the problem in the years. Tana. Who Koresh? Who Daryovish? Who Artashast? Koresh, Daryovish, and Artashast are all one person. They're all the same king. So that means Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes are all one king. So that's very difficult, but there are problems, and the Chazal are not so far off, because this is the equivalent of what you have a problem with Paro. When you have the word Paro in the Torah, it's used numerous times, it's clear it's not the same individual. Paro is the generic name for someone who became the ruler over Mitzrayim. The Paros, or the Pharaohs, had names. Ramses the First, Ramses the Second, they had names that underlied that. So the fact that Artashast was used as like the supreme king. So Cyrus, who takes over, takes on that name at a certain point. So it's not far-fetched to say that Artashast is used as a name for Cyrus or Darius. But to say that Cyrus and Darius are the same, that's much more difficult, because those are two different people or two different individuals. And plus, on top of that, you're dealing with a mix. The Persian-Median Empire is because there was Persian-Media, and they had separate kings, and then there was a supreme king over the two of them. So the fact that the Gemara here goes ahead and says, Hu Koresh Daryovish Artashast, it solves the problem. So the verse says, Koresh Shemela Kasher Haya. Why was he called Koresh? Because he was Kasher. Artashast is Hashem Malchuto, because he was the ruler, the king. Mashmo, and what's his real name? Daryovish, that was his name. Mikol kom kasho. All right, but Rav Yosef, one question is, it's Koresh versus Daryovish. Quran answers that and says Koresh and Daryovish are the same thing. But on top of that, he brought a proof from the Psukim in Ezra that Daryovish does not get triggered another year. If you say Koresh and Daryovish are the same person, how come in Ezra, the Mikdash is finished in the sixth year? A year later, Ezra gathers the people together and they head up to Yerushalayim. He heads up to Yerushalayim on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, gets there in Av, and it still calls it the seventh year of Daryovish. It should have been the eighth year of Daryovish if Koresh Daryovish are the same person and you trigger the year for the rain on Nisan. That was before he went off the derech, and that's after he went off the derech. While he was still friendly to the Jews, then he was counted from Nisan. After he became unfriendly to the Jews, or he wasn't necessarily positively disposed, at that point they switch over to counting his years from Tishrei, which is interesting. In the middle of his reign that they started switching over. That's the answer. The Gemara will challenge him that in tomorrow's daf. Now, what's interesting over here is that by combining Koresh Daryovish and Artachshasta, by combining these three things, Chazal come up with an enumeration. They follow Seder Olam Rabba. The chronology that Chazal follow is based on Seder Olam Rabba, which is a midrash that basically gives you the years from creation all the way until the Churban HaBayit, maybe somewhat after the Churban HaBayit. It's authored by Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta gives this layout. In there, he describes the Persian rule, and he describes, and this part we've seen before, that Bayit Sheni stands 420 years. Bayit Rishon stands for 410 years. Bayit Sheni stands for 420 years. The reason that they have that is because they diminished the rule, the Persian rule. They just took down the Persian rule by combining three kings together and saying that they're all the same. Now, it is true, and some of this confusion might arise from the fact that there is more than one Cyrus. There's Cyrus the Great, and then there's Cyrus. There's Darius the First, Darius the Second. There's Artaxerxes the First, Second, and Third. They all exist, meaning that there are multiple kings with the same name, and that could lead to some of the confusion that comes up here. That's number one. Number two is there are problems with the Psukim by themselves. Haggai describes the return of the Am to Yerushalayim, and he says that this takes place in the second year of Daryovish's reign. So in the second year of Daryovish's reign, he's describing about them returning. We have in Sefer Ezra the completion of the building in the sixth year of Daryovish's reign. And then we have in Sefer Nehemiah in the 20th year of Artaxerxes' reign, Yerushalayim's in shatters. It is not even built. There's nothing there. So if you're looking at this chronologically, you have a problem. Haggai says that they already went up, and they begin the construction of the Mikdash, and that's in the time of Daryovish. And it's completed already in the sixth year of Daryovish. Arkadash, who's the king afterwards, Nehemiah says, is that the place is in disarray and destroyed. So there is some difficulty in terms of the dating by itself. And because of that, Chazal might have also had to adjust to figure it out. Okay, great. Very good. So that's what Tosafot answers. Tosafot answers like Shaul, which says, the Mikdash is built. It's just that the wall is in disarray. It's been breached. The wall is a problem, but not the Mikdash. And that's why when Nehemiah goes back, he just describes building the walls of the city, not the Mikdash itself. So that's Tosafot's claim of how to solve the problem. Even Tosafot says, Pashtei Dikra Mashmo. He says, we have to deal, what's the pshat of the Psukim? Because he understands that this is a Midrash Chazal. How do you even deal with the Psukim simply? Because of this problem. In Haggai, it's also interesting because Haggai speaks about, gives a prediction that on the 24th of the month, the Mikdash will be freed of all foreigners and all those people that are bothering Yerushalayim, they'll be freed. That is the 24th of the month of Kislev that he says that will happen. That's his nevuah. And obviously, the Chashmonaim took that up, and that's why it was such a significant day for them. Chanukah, which is the 24th of Kislev, they made that a significant day based on the Nevuah of Haggai. That would be the day that they're freed from the enemies. That's meaning, that's the first time that B'nai Israel take back autonomy. Since the time of the Churban, it's the first time they take autonomy. They see that as the fulfillment of the Nevuah of Haggai. And they might have actually waited. We know from the Sefer Maccabim that they actually clear out Yerushalayim. They clear it up around the time of Sukkot. And they wait to consecrate the Mikdash until the 24th of Kislev and the Chanukah because of probably the significance of the Nevuah of Haggai. So we have stages of the building of the Mikdash. Now what's interesting here is that the Gemara combines Koresh, Daryovish, and Artaxerxes and the pressing of the years of the Persian kings. The Baal HaMor, one of the early Rishonim already notes the problem, says, that's all nice and good, but let me tell you the truth. V'zehu olav yadeinu l'fi midrash rabuteinu. That's according to the Midrash of the Rabbeinu. The Fi Diktukeim. Aval, Perush HaNachon. Let me tell you the right explanation. Lefi HaPshat. Zeh Shekatuv, Umitam Koresh V'Daryavesh Ratashast, Melech Paras, Shlosha Melechim Hayu. There are three different kings, and there are not one king. Now, they are mentioned singly in a pasuk in Ezra, and that might also what might have led Chazal to believe that they were a single king. Each one of them was a king of Persia. The early years is from Cyrus the Great, who began. They put the foundations of Mikdash down. And he was the completer of the Mikdash. The latter, Artaxerxes, the Artaxast, who bana Chumat Yerushalayim. He's the one in time in Nehemiah that allows for the building of the walls of Yerushalayim. Commotion and furash with Direi Nehemiah. Ukulam nitkaima nivuat Yishayahu. That shekatuv, banu b'nei nechar chomotayich, umachrem yishartunech. That your foreigners will build your walls, and they will be the ones who service you in order to build the Mikdash. That's the nivuah of Yishayahu. That'll be foreigners that actually build the Mikdash. Ve'ein ze achartashas tarishon. This is not Artaxerxes the First. Shetzivah levatel melechit beit ha-Mikdash. He's the one who stopped the building of the Mikdash, who Chazal connect with Achashverosh in Megillat Esther. Fikach samchana katuv l'shlosha melachim alalu. Therefore, the pasuk and Ezra puts them together. Vizkiram zeh harzeh right away. Let's kir shibchanu zkutan, because all three of them are involved in the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. But what the Baal HaMor makes clear is that they are three different kings. Now, according to secular historians, the second bayit stands for 586 years, not 420 years. There's a 166 year difference between the counting of the Chazal and the counting of the secular historians. It's somewhere in that range of 166 year difference. A lot of that develops from the fact that Chazal combined a number of kings, take down three reigns, Persian reigns. Plus on top of that, part of some of these issues, the thing that we discussed with Nehemiah being in the 20th year of Achartashast, and then we have other information which earlier in the reigns of Achartashast, other things happened, that might be solved by the fact that there's an Artaxerxes the Second and Artaxerxes the Third. So one of them could be in the 20th year of the Artaxerxes the Second, and one of them could be in the early years of Artaxerxes the Third. So that's why you might get confusion in the Psukim about this. Same thing with Daryovish. There's Daryovish Arishon, Daryovish Hasheni, there's Cyrus the Great, and then Cyrus. So you have multiple kings with the same name. If you separate them all out, then you end up with a long range of the Persian Empire in which Bayit Sheni stands. Otherwise, you have what Chazal say, they compress the Persian Empire and they end up with 420 years of Bayit Sheni. Rav Schwab has an article on this, which says that Chazal intentionally tried to subvert the years and to collapse them. They did that by switching over to Minyan Shtarot. In the time of the Greeks, they switched over to Minyan Shtarot so people would lose track of how things were counted. And because of that, they were able to say that all the Persian kings came in a small range. Why did they do that? So Rav Schwab claims that they wanted to hide the Ketz Yamin, because they have the Midrashei Chazal that tells us the world will be around for 6,000 years. They didn't want people, as they get closer to the end, to either have Yeush or not care anymore. So they basically put in a buffer, 166 years, so we would think we're much further away from the end than we really are. I wrote an article many, many years ago, 25 years ago, in which I explained the Shita Rav Schwab, but also explained why it can't be right. And part of it has to do with the way that we calculate the Molad. That if you're missing years in the calculations, you wouldn't come out with the right molad based on the way that we calculate the molad. We start from vid or barad when creation was, and we work forward by adding on the sheirit each year. And that wouldn't work if you actually have years that are missing, because then the molad would be in the wrong time. Now, there are other answers that are given. Some of the more modern answers that are given were articles by Rav Meidan and others that show basically that the reason Chazal did this was because of Megillat Esther. Megillat Esther, according to Chazal, takes place during Galut Bavel, during the 70 years of Galut Bavel. The only way that can be true is if you compress the Persian Empire. If you don't compress the Persian Empire, that means that Purim actually takes place during the time of Bayit Sheni, during the time that the Beit HaMikdash is already standing in Yerushalayim. And therefore, Megillat Esther, in many ways, is a heavy condemnation of the people of Shushan HaBirah. And you see that in the beginning of Gilat Esther, which is the description of Shushan HaBirah, is very similar to that of Yerushalayim. And that what we say, Kelim Mikelim Shonim, that they were using the clay Mikdash, and that it has descriptions that are very akin to the Mishkan, to the Mikdash, And they're treating it Shushan HaBira instead of Yerushalayim HaBira. And basically the criticism that is laid out in Megillat Esther is that the Beit HaMikdash is standing and the Jews haven't returned. They are in Shushan HaBira. They made Shushan their capital and they're enjoying life in Shushan and they don't see any necessity to make Aliyah to go to the Mikdash even though it's already standing. It's been there for numerous years. And the story of Megillat Esther in that context takes on different meaning. It's a very, very strong condemnation of the people and the people of Babel who don't return to Eretz Yisrael. By subverting the Persian rule and saying that it was much shorter time, that places Megillat Esther, a story in Galut Babel, and it makes it into a very different type of story and not a criticism of the people who didn't go from Babel or Persia back to Eretz Yisrael. But that might be a part of why these 166 years or why Chazal might have changed the way that it's laid out in order to avoid that type of criticism or to hide that the fact that it was during Bayit Sheni and not really during Galut Babel. There are other answers that possibly can be given. Over here we just saw the Baal HaMor who argues against the Chazal in this instance and says that Chazal is just a Midrash and that's a Drosha, it's not the real count in the years, even Chazal are going to acknowledge it. But basically all of it follows Sidur Olam Rabbah, which is a Midrash that gives you the chronology. And others that suggest that that was never intended to be a historically accurate, it's meant to be Midrashim or Drashan the Psukim. And then Chazal took it as a history book, and then they used that which were Drashot in order to ascertain what the history was. It came up with 420 years for Bayit Sheni, and a very short Persian rule, when that was never the intent of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta. But again, different reasons given in terms of how to reconcile between this history in terms of Chazal. It's very hard to argue that Chazal are right here, and the other history is wrong because we have very, very strong evidence in terms of both archaeology and documents that show that the Persian rule, we have it laid out almost to the T by historians at that time, exactly how many kings ruled, how long they ruled for. So it's very hard to argue that the Persian rule was such a short duration. Okay, we'll stop over here.